Well, a very good afternoon to you from me, Ian Skelly, here to guide you through our programmes this afternoon on BBC Radio 3. And we're going to ask the question, what was it about the Marian hymn Salve Regina that so fascinated composers throughout the Renaissance in just a couple of minutes' time? The melody itself is beautiful, but as you'll hear, it proved an irresistible inspiration for some soaring polyphonic settings over several generations of composers. Treasures to savour in the early music show at lunchtime here on Radio 3, all after a summary of the BBC News at 1 o'clock. From David Cornett.
The leader of the Catholic Church in Scotland, Cardinal Keith O'Brien, has missed a service in Edinburgh to celebrate the Pope's 8 years in office following allegations of inappropriate behaviour by 3 priests and a former priest. The claims against the Cardinal date back to the 1980s. The Scottish Catholic Church said Cardinal O'Brien contested the claims and was taking legal advice. Pope Benedict has given his final Sunday blessing before he steps down on Thursday. He told tens of thousands of people in St. Peter's Square in Rome that he was not abandoning the church. He said he would continue to serve the church in a way that was more suitable to his age and strength by dedicating himself even more to prayer. The Liberal Democrats have denied newspaper reports that their leader, Nick Clegg, had known of allegations of misconduct against the party's former chief executive, Lord Rennard, before they emerged last week. Several women have accused Lord Rennard of sexual harassment. He's said he strongly disputes the allegations. Voting is underway in Italy's first general election since an unelected government was asked to take power 2 years ago to deal with the country's economic problems. Markets are concerned that the election will fail to produce a government strong enough to deal with Italy's debt crisis. Leaders from countries in the Great Lakes region of Africa have signed an agreement aimed at ending fighting in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The deal, mediated by the United Nations, is designed to end a conflict between rebels and the government in the east of the country. An investigation is underway into the deaths of a woman and her elderly parents at a caravan park near Camborne in Cornwall. It's thought they were overcome by carbon monoxide fumes, possibly from a heater. And the weather, more wintry showers, mostly light, are expected in eastern areas. Elsewhere, it'll be cloudy and dry with a widespread frost tonight. There'll be patchy fog in the north, which will also have clearer skies. BBC News and weather at 3 minutes, or coming up to 3 minutes past one.
David, thank you very much. Bartok's second piano concerto forms the centrepiece of our Sunday concert in an hour from now. The BBC National Orchestra of Wales, conducted by François Xavier Roth, frames the piece with 2 pieces by Tchaikovsky, his fantasy overture Romeo and Juliet, and his fourth symphony. That's our Sunday concert at 2 this afternoon. But next, the early music show, and Lucy Skeeping reveals how a particular prayer to the Virgin Mary fascinated European composers throughout the late medieval and Renaissance periods with its poetic Latin text and beautifully evocative chant melody. The programme opens with a setting of the chant by Johannes Ockeghem, the Marian hymn Salve Regina.
the Hilliard Ensemble, directed by Paul Hillier, with Salve Regina by Johannes Ockeghem, a setting of the Prayer to the Virgin from the second half of the 1400s. Mary, the Mother of Mercy, the Mother of Sorrows, has long been the subject of devotion for countless Christians, and the words of the Salve Regina have become a cornerstone of Marian worship. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness and our hope. To you we cry, the children of Eve. To you we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this land of exile. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, your eyes of mercy towards us. Lead us home at last and show us the blessed fruit of your womb, Jesus. O merciful, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. The Salve Regina is one of four so-called Marian antiphons. So when exactly would it have been sung during the service? I chatted with Owen Rees, reader in music and organist at the Queen's College, Oxford.
There were two times in the week where you were most likely to sing the Salve Regina. After the final service of the day, which was called Compline, in a cathedral or in a great monastic church. The second time when you'd be most likely to hear Salve Regina sung was on Saturdays. Saturday was regarded as a day particularly devoted to Mary. And indeed, in many places, those services became known simply as the Salve service to reflect the fact that the Salve Regina was the most commonly sung item at those services. So we see in the later Middle Ages a great increase in the building of new lady chapels attached to cathedrals, for example. And that's one of the main sites for this growing devotion to Mary and one of the places where Salve Regina might have been sung.
So let's hear the chant in its naked form as a simple piece of plain song.
That's really, really lovely and very calming, actually.
Do we know who wrote the original chant, or indeed the text? Because it's not a biblical, it's not a psalm, is it?
No, that's right. So it's a newly composed text and a newly composed chant to fit that text. And we don't know who the original author was, sadly.
Owen Rees. So we may not know for sure who actually wrote the Salve Regina chant, or indeed its text, but there are many stories in medieval manuscripts that suggest its origin. One says it was the work of the 11th century French abbot, Bernard of Clairvaux, who had a dream in which he descended into hell and witnessed the souls of two drowned boys who were there because they disobeyed their teacher by playing in the river. Bernard then saw a vision of the Virgin Mary, and the two boys sang to her the Salve Regina. The many stories like that were usually linked with being exorcised in some way or made pure by Mary, and they seem to capture the imagination of both writers and composers. Our next setting is by Orlando de Lassus, perhaps the most celebrated composer of the late Renaissance, whose works were not only commissioned by the church, but also by wealthy noble families. His Salve Regina is rather calm and subtle, less a showy or dramatic declaration of faith, more a genuinely personal kind of prayer.
Thank you.
The 16, directed by Harry Christophers, with a setting of the Salve Regina by Lassus. The Salve Regina was part of regular devotion in monasteries throughout the Christian world and was also sung in the chapels of the nobility, who commissioned settings from their court composers, like Lassus in Munich. But during the Renaissance, settings were also paid for by confraternities, groups of wealthy lay people, perhaps associated with a particular trade or guild. They helped the poor, the orphaned and the homeless, and they made sure to look after their own destiny as well by commissioning religious music. Members will gain 100 years indulgence for assisting the Salve Regina, states the rules of the Confraternity of the Most Holy Rosary, a way of ensuring that Mary would pray for them and guarantee a place in heaven. Our next setting of the chant is by Josquin des Prez, a member of the papal choir in Rome during the last decade of the 1400s. Josquin uses the Salve Regina chant in all sorts of creative ways within the work, as Owen Rees explains.
He takes the four-note motif that begins the Salve Regina and he weaves from it an imitative module which uses all of the ways that those four notes can fit against themselves with overlap of a bit of the phrase against another bit of the phrase, all of the ways which work according to the contrapuntal rules of the period. So that's him showing off technically. But then in constructing his piece, Josquin isn't content with using the chant just in one way, but he uses it in two different ways. So the upper voice, in the main, of the piece carries sometimes a decorated version of the entire Salve Regina chant. And then one other voice part within the texture repeats as an ostinato throughout the setting just this four-note motif for Salve. And one could regard this as a rhetorical device, if you like, which is recalling to the singers and perhaps the listeners' minds this famous opening acclamation of Mary.
a setting of the Salve Regina by Josquin des Prez, performed there by the Taverner Consort, directed by Andrew Parrott. Although his career was based in France and Italy, Josquin's music was enormously influential all over Europe. I asked Owen Rees just how other composers might have come across this setting.
He's around at just the right time to benefit from the new technology of music printing, which comes in right at the start of the 16th century. And the music printer Petrucci comes particularly to favour Josquin's music in his collections of masses and motets. And then the other way is through manuscript dissemination. And we have very large numbers of manuscript copies of Josquin circulating in many parts of Europe. And so we see Josquin's music still being sung, for example, by the Sistine Chapel Choir at the end of the 16th century, so 80 years or so after Josquin's death. And Josquin's setting may well have been influential on some later composers in this respect, composers who were setting Salve Regina text. Even perhaps nearly a century later, one of the settings by Victoria adopts this same process of having an ostinato that Josquin had employed.
Ensemble La Sestina, conducted by Adriano Giardina, with one of several settings of the Salve Regina by the Spanish composer Tomás Luis de Victoria. Like Josquin, almost a century earlier, he used the first four notes of the chant as a repeated motif. In fact, once your ear identifies it in the texture, it is quite hard to get that little phrase out of your mind. It's almost become a signature in itself. Here's Owen Rees again.
I think they would have been very powerfully and instantly evocative of this devotion to Mary, which was at the core of devotion within Catholic Europe in the late Middle Ages and the Renaissance period. So four of the most famous notes, if you like, this four-note phrase, sometimes attached to the word salve, even in other texts than the Salve Regina, composers would sometimes turn to this motif. A wonderful example of that is in a motet by a Spanish composer, Francisco Guerrero, Ave Virgo Sanctissima, another text in praise of Mary. And at the centre of the text occurs the word salve. And Guerrero engineers his piece such that this is musically the high point. In fact, it's literally the high point in that we hear the two top voices in canon with one another sing this phrase at the top of their range. And Guerrero, therefore, draws the listener's attention towards the salve motive.
Thank you.
Ave Virgo Sanctissima, a five-part motet by Francisco Guerrero, which highlights certain words and motifs from the Salve Regina. The performers there were a cappella Portuguesa, directed by Owen Rees, who's been chatting with me throughout today's programme, so my thanks to him. Well, for our final piece, we're going forward almost 200 years, and it's a setting by Handel. By this time, the chant melody had become less predominant, but the likes of Monteverdi, Vivaldi and Handel were all inspired by its moving text. This is one of Handel's earliest works, dating from his stay in Rome in the first years of the 18th century, when he was in service to the Marquis Ruspoli. It was probably performed at Vespers in the church of Santa Maria di Monte Santo for the summer festival. And judging by the parts, Handel must have had the very best musicians in Rome at his disposal. The opening largo, with its gently rocking, almost pastoral feel, is followed by an adagio, soulful and chromatic. Then the mood becomes more upbeat. The solo voice, highly ornamented, is introduced by the strings and the organ, which Handel himself played. But for the last part, we return to a darker mood once more as we hear the final plea. O merciful, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary.
Thank you.
That was Emma Kirkby with London Baroque and Handel's setting of Salve Regina. That edition of the Early Music Show was presented by Lucy Skeeping and it was produced by Helen Garrison.
BBC Radio 3 picks words and music on the theme of discovery.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
With readers Catherine Parkinson and Stephen Campbell Moore.
I am convinced that natural selection has been the main, but not the exclusive, means of modification.
Poems and prose by Thomas Hardy, Jane Austen and Simon Gray, and music by Bach, Copland and Strauss.
Allow me to interpret this interesting silence. It confesses that you have long understood me. No, sir, cried Emma. It confesses no such thing.
Words and Music on the theme of discovery. Tonight at 6:30 on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3, Music Next from Wales. It's time for our Sunday concert, and this week's offering was recorded in Swansea on Friday evening, in fact. It's introduced by Nicola Heywood-Thomas.
Welcome to the Brangwyn Hall in Swansea. Today, the BBC National Orchestra of Wales and associate guest conductor François-Xavier Roth have a programme of great orchestral writing in store for us. It begins and ends with masterpieces by Tchaikovsky, framing a performance of Béla Bartók's imaginative second piano concerto, played by the exciting young French pianist Jean-Frédéric Neuberger. And I'll also be finding out about a performance that happened here on stage just a few minutes ago, involving lots of young players from the South Wales area. Well, later on, we'll hear Tchaikovsky's great Fourth Symphony, written when the composer was in mental turmoil in the year of his disastrous marriage. We begin, though, with an earlier work that's often considered to be Tchaikovsky's first undisputed masterpiece, the fantasy overture Romeo and Juliet. Tchaikovsky loved Shakespeare, but it was his contemporary, the older Russian composer Balakirev, who initially suggested Romeo and Juliet as subject matter. The story of the doomed lovers stimulated Tchaikovsky to write the piece quickly. He'd returned to revise it twice more to create the musical scene painting that we know today, and to conduct the BBC National Orchestra of Wales in Romeo and Juliet. Here comes François-Xavier Roth.